We're going to talk about, in this session, right content. We've talked about right reasons, right people, right components, right content. And that is, as I begin to disciple someone, what do I want to pass on? What do I want to teach them? In other words, I'm going to begin to meet with this person. We're going to spend time together. Or maybe I'm meeting with three people. Again, in your particular discipleship situation, whoever's listening to this tape, some of you are meeting in small groups, one-on-three or one-on-two, one-on-one, a variety of forms of discipleship. Whatever your context is, what are you going to pass on? Now, here's the reality. Discipleship is not just hanging out, okay? As we talked about in the previous session, relationship is a big part of discipleship. However, biblical discipleship is not just hanging out with somebody. That's called friendship, okay? I got a lot of friends. I got friends I hang with, but I'm not necessarily discipling them. Discipleship has to do with I'm meeting with a friend for a purpose. I want to take this person somewhere. I want to take them toward being a biblical disciple. So, being in a discipleship relationship means not just that I'm a friend, but I'm taking them somewhere. Now, here's the reality. To know where I'm taking somebody requires some planning, some forethought. In other words, it's having this picture of where I want to take this person and what things do they need to learn. If my vision is here, what I would love to see this person look like as a biblical disciple, then the question is, what are the steps they need to get there? What are the biblical truths they need to learn? What are the character things that have got to happen in their life? What are skills they need of ministry? What do they need to be equipped with? Again, going back to my quarterback analogy, if the coach says, I want to see so-and-so be a great quarterback and lead us to the Big Ten Championship, he has specific things he needs his quarterback to learn. His quarterback needs to learn how to read defenses. His quarterback needs to learn how to make good handoffs. His quarterback needs to know how to drop back in a three-step drop for a quick pass. He needs the whole... There's a whole bunch of things the coach needs to train that guy in to get him to be a good quarterback. Am I making sense? A good coach doesn't just wing it. He thinks through, how do I get this person there? Now, see, when we come to discipleship, my observation is there can be two types of people when it comes to discipleship. I'll call them planners and wingers. Okay, now, you know what I mean by this? Now, to take two extremes, the planner is the person who plans everything out in detail, maybe kind of anal, sort of a little bit anal, you know? I mean, they got everything. They got week one, week two, week three, five. They got 15 weeks planned out. I've never done that in my life. Some of you may be that disciplined. Well, that's okay if you can do that. That's being real planned out. Many of us are more on the winging side, Andy Allen, right? Ha-ha! Yeah! And wingers, you know, wingers are the kind of disciples who just kind of show up, and whatever comes out, comes out. Now, it's a bad stereotype of my brother Andy, but I'm a winger. You know, and this kind of discipleship is where you show up and you say, so how are you doing? And then they say, well, how are you doing? Well, how are you doing? You know, and I hold it. Now, that's okay. I mean, that's not all bad. And where that really works well is if the person you're discipling is someone who every week they show up, they've got questions. They've got things they want to learn about. There's things going on in their life. Say, what about this? What about that? That's great. Then you can just be a winger with those kind of people. Okay? Although, you may never get to some really important things they need to learn because you're always just dealing with whatever they come up with. But the other problem with that is sometimes you'll work with someone who they show up to your appointment and they don't have anything to ask you. They don't have a single question in their mind. And there you sit there and kind of stare at each other. And what are we going to talk about? Because they don't have any questions. This is where balancing being a flexible winger, which is a good thing, being available, being a flexible winger, with being more thoughtful in your planning is a good thing. Marrying both of those. So that both of us have a place to fit in here. Both planners and wingers. So I want to talk about, what do you cover? And I don't know if I wrote this on my board. I don't think I did. Nope, we're done. What do you cover as you get together with a disciple? In other words, I got this person. I've cast vision. For being a disciple, they say, yep, I want to do it. I'm willing to be committed. I want to meet with you. And now they show up for your appointments. So what are you going to do besides hanging out? I want to suggest three areas of content, if you will. Three ways you can think, three things to think about in terms of their development. And on the third one, I have that specific handout we're going to look at. But don't look at that yet. That's the third thing. Here's the first two. ways to think about what to do with the disciple. Number one, focus on their specific needs or goals at this time in their life. Let me say that again. Number one, focus on their specific need or their goals in their life at that time in their life. In other words, what's on their heart and mind? What do they need to grow in? And this involves asking questions. And this is real profound. Asking them, you know, what are your goals for the semester? Isn't that good? Isn't that really good? What do you need? What are the issues you're dealing with? What are you struggling with? This involves asking them, and I always do this with disciples, what do you feel your strengths are, and what are your weaknesses? And jot down this person's strengths, this person's weaknesses, because often that'll help tell you what they need. If they say, you know, I'm really struggling with consistent quiet times, well, that might be a great place to start. If they say, I'm really struggling with my thought life and getting on the internet too much, men, well, that's probably a real good place to dive in. What are their specific needs? What are their goals for the semester? What are their strengths and weaknesses that you can work on? Now, this may include things like not only quiet time, lust, sexual purity, relationship with the opposite sex, relationship with their parents. They may say, I just don't understand the spiritual life. Or I'm struggling with trials and temptations in my life. Whatever. Under this area, may I commend to you a very specific thing to focus on? Focus on their personal walk and their character. Now, here's why I say that. I believe those are foundational to discipleship. Over my 30 years of discipling men, I have spent more time focusing on their walk and their character than probably anything else. Now, I spent a lot of time developing them in a ministry, learning how to share their faith. We did all that. But I fundamentally believe that if you don't go after a man or woman's character and their walk with Christ, no matter how competent they are, a lot of times their competence raises ahead of their character. And they may be skilled. They may know how to do things as a leader in the ministry. We got a lot of leaders who are very competent in the world, but they lack character. And how many examples do we have from history where ultimately a lack of character undermines any man's competence? Albeit the President of the United States can be a gifted leader, but if he lacks character, it will ultimately hurt him. Now, under this, I want to make observations in a person's life. What are the character issues? How is this person doing in the area of pride? And frankly, that's often a real issue. Especially on campus, Christians come out of a church or Christian background. Again, like I said before, they think they got it all wired. They got it figured out. Their previous disciple taught them anything. They can't learn anything. And their biggest hindrance to their further development is the pride issue. It's a big one. But other things. Servanthood, being vulnerable and transparent, being judgmental. How they use their tongue. Do they build up others or do they tear down other people? A lot of us have come into the Christian life with a lot of sarcasm. You name it. All kinds of character issues. But here's my first thing. We got that? What do they need? Where are they at? What are their goals? What are their strengths and weaknesses? That's something you can draw out from them to figure out what you want to focus on. One year as I discipled a man in Miami, I found out he came out of a very legalistic home life where his parents guilted him and shamed him his whole life. They'd sit him down and say, shame on you, Danny, shame on you. And here was a guy that I knew if he was going to have a long-term impact for Christ, he had to understand grace and get freed up from his legalism. We spent the whole first year focusing on understanding grace. And I dove in with him from the Bible to understand grace. I gave him a book to read about grace, so forth. That's what he needed. And we shared our faith a lot because he didn't know how to share his faith. This is one example. Make sense? Second area to cover, to think about, and this is a fun one. I love to talk about this one. Second thing you can do as you disciple others is simply pass on your convictions. Pass on your convictions. What do I mean by that? That is, make an assessment of, and this is a really fun thing to do. What are the convictions God has built into your life? See, the best thing you will pass on to your disciples is the stuff that God has already built into your life. I mean, you can pull a manual off a shelf and try to teach somebody else's stuff, but the stuff you will most passionately pass on to somebody is the stuff that God's already building. Do you have a passion for the Scriptures and why we need to be in the Word? Then do that. Do you have a passion for holiness? Do you have a passion for... give me some more examples. Give me some examples. Shout out some examples.
Prayer.
Okay, you really believe in prayer.
It's world vision.
World vision. You got a heart for the world. Eternal perspective. Who said what?
Apologetics.
Being able to help answer people's questions. You follow me? Here's my suggestion to you. Make a list sometime. We won't do it now. Make a little list. Take a piece of paper out and just brainstorm. What are the deepest convictions God has built into my life? Maybe it's the Spirit-filled life. Maybe it's grace. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's holiness, the attributes of God. What are the top convictions? Maybe it's just the importance of having a consistent quiet time. Maybe it's eternal perspective. You make a list of those things, and if throughout the course of a semester of discipling someone, you just talk about those things that God has taught you, you'll do a great job of discipling someone. Am I making sense here? You know what it's kind of like? I like to put it this way. You know what discipleship is? It's passing on your disease. It's taking whatever germs of conviction you've been infected with and breathing them all over somebody. You know, if I get a bad cold here and I want to get Tim sick, you know what I got to do? I just got to hang all about and breathe all over him. And if I breathe all over him enough, now I'm not going to kiss him, but if I, you know, breathe all over him, he'll catch my germs. See, if you've been walking with Christ for any length of time, maybe only 3 months, you have caught certain spiritual germs of conviction. So when you spend time with a disciple, in your appointment, when you're hanging out downtown having pizza, you breathe all over them what God has done in your life. They will catch what you've got. That's discipleship. It's uncanny to me, over the years, as I looked at people that I discipled, it's uncanny how if one of my men had a deep prayer conviction, it would be uncanny how the guys he discipled often would be the ones who'd come to prayer meeting and would have a conviction about prayer. And I'd say, isn't that a funny thing? How does that happen? Well, they catch what the person has they're spending time. Okay? Now here's the third area. And this relates to that little sheet that's in your hand. And here's the third thing, I'll put it this way. Covering content that everyone needs. Covering content that everyone needs. Content that is foundational to everyone's Christian walk. So the first one is identifying specific needs and goals they have at that time in their life. Second one is passing on your conviction. But this third one is covering content that everyone needs. Because there are certain things that every believer really needs to have a good foundation of over the course of their development. Now, what you have, the sheet that you have in your hands, is the beginning of this discipleship tool that we're working on that's going to be on the CD. And the idea of this is we as the staff team back last spring already started to think through what are the most critical foundational topics that every believer needs to really have internalized and understand biblically. Now this is certainly not exhaustive. There's 100 more topics we could put on here, but you can't cover everything in 2 years of discipleship on campus. So we want to make sure we had the most foundational. And there will be others you will add, and as this tool develops, we'll probably add more topics. In fact, you all may have some good input as to some topics that you think we really ought to have on here that aren't on here right now. This is just the beginning. But the idea of this is, we are saying these are some of the key topics we want every student who is a part of this movement to be discipled in. And this is going to be a tool where you can use as you sit down and think through your disciples' development. Obviously, it's laid out under the motif of walking by faith, communicating your faith, multiplying your faith. And the idea is, the way this is going to work on this CD is, you're going to see here, okay, if I'm working with a person, I want to make sure they first understand walking by faith, right? Even if they're a believer for 2 or 3 years, don't assume just because they were in a church and had a good youth group, they really have these down. Find out. Now, maybe they do. There's flexibility with this tool. You discern where your disciple is, and you select. It's not a you're locked into a box kind of thing that you got to do all the first things here walking by faith before you can do the next. No, you may do some from here and some from communicating and pick one from multiplying. You can bounce around and pick whatever is needed. But what we do want to make sure is that everybody makes sure they get these foundational walking by faith truths understood over time. So you probably want to start there. Now, if your disciple already knows these cold, ask them questions, find out, and then you can jump to something else. So there's freedom, there's flexibility, but make sure that people get the basics. The way this CD is going to work, right now, this is just the outline of the topics. You're going to be able to go into the CD, click on the topic, and what you're going to get is 1, 2, or 3 page teaching or training on that particular topic. Like, say, the one on the right side there, holiness. You'll be able to click on holiness, and you'll see a a very transferable tool which will take you to passages of Scripture, explanations, ideas. You'll be able to study that and then go on your appointment with your disciple and walk through that with a disciple. It's not going to be laid out as a fill-in-the-blank type of thing where you print it out and go sit down and they fill out the blank. It's more, you're going to get the sheet after you print it out, learn it yourself, and then go pass it on. It's not going to be really, here, just read this and fill it out. It's you're going to teach them. You're going to walk them through passages. And of course, ideally, share from your own life what God has done in your life related to these particular topics. And bring other scriptures in. Bring in your own wisdom and everything you know about this topic. Bring it in with it. Okay? Does this make sense? Now, this is not to be designed that these are the only things you teach. If your disciple has something they really need that's not on here, of course you cover it with them. If they're dealing with a certain issue that this doesn't tackle, go after that. And bring your own wisdom to bear. But this is a guideline. This will give you some tracks to run on. So you can say, okay, where am I going to go with this disciple? Well, this gives me some tracks to run on with the person I'm working with. Okay? Now, I think we've made this fairly clear enough, Tim. I don't know if I should be explaining more about this tool. You'll hear more about it and give you help later as it comes out. I want to end this time, though, with three final perspectives on the growth of your disciples. Perspectives on a disciple's growth. Ready? Real simple things. Simple, but yay, so profound. Three perspectives on the growth of your disciple. In other words, let's say you begin to disciple someone this semester. Maybe two people, three, whatever. In a small group you do it, group discipleship, one-on-one, however you do it. Here's a couple perspectives you need to know that are going to take the pressure off. Now hear this. This is going to take the pressure off. Number one, God causes the growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says this, and it's every disciple needs to embrace and internalize this. See, I don't know if I could ask you the question of, do you feel inadequate? Do you feel afraid to disciple? Do you feel like, oh my, I don't know if I do this. You know, what if I don't know all the answers? And what if I can't meet this person's need? There could be inadequacy feelings or that kind of thing. It's so helpful to know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking about his and Apollos' ministry to the believers in Corinth. Are you familiar with this passage? And he says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Paul had gone in and preached the gospel in Corinth. Apollos came after him and preached the gospel more, helped new believers grow. And Paul underscores, he says, look, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. God causes the growth. God will use you. God will work through you. You're going to attempt to create an environment of growth. You're going to attempt to build a relationship, get him into the word and do the ministry. You're going to do these things to build an environment of growth. But God, the Holy Spirit, needs to work in their heart. He causes the growth. So you say, and the reason it's so important is you may have somebody who just doesn't grow and take off. Listen, in 30 years of discipleship, I can tell you the stories of the guys that I sought to disciple who never grew and never took off, at least when they were with me. Maybe they did later in life. But they didn't grow. They didn't take off spiritually. And I could have beaten myself up and said, oh, I'm a failure, I'm not adequate, I didn't say the right things, I didn't do the right thing. Oh, woe is me, yucky, lousy disciple. No. As a new disciple, you step out in faith. You do the best you can with what you know. You offer what you have, and you leave it in the Lord's hands, and God will cause the growth. Maybe we'll come up with a definition of success in discipleship. It's simply being involved in someone's life and building a relationship, sharing the word, and doing the ministry together in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. God has to cause the growth. I just made up a new definition. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's cool. God causes the growth. So take the pressure off yourself. Here's a second perspective that takes the pressure off. Is God will use the whole body in their discipleship, not just you. God will use the whole body to disciple this person. In other words, the full weight of their growth doesn't rest on what you do with them individually. And that's why we have a movement. We have a movement because when students come to Crew, they hear the Word of God and they get fellowship. When they come to the fall retreat or Christmas conference, they hear the Word of God. They're getting around other believers. If they go on a summer project, they go on a spring break trip, they go to a social and a party. You follow me? And that's why, that's one of the biggest reasons as a disciple why you want to invite someone you're discipling to be a part of the larger body. You don't want that person to become dependent on you. You want them to be a part of the larger community of believers. One, because you don't have all the spiritual gifts, do you? Two, you don't have all the biblical knowledge there is. Three, you don't have all the answers to all their questions. And so the wisest thing you can do is to be honest about your limitations and say, you know, I'm not the whole body of Christ. I'm going to bring this guy I'm discipling in to be a part of the body. You take that guy to the men's night. He meets other brothers. They have great conversation. And someone speaks some truth into his life in an area that you haven't touched on. And I very humbly at different times had to take a disciple to someone else who knew better how to help this person than I could. So the pressure is off when you realize God's going to use you, but he's going to do it in the context of a larger movement of people. Make sense? Here's the third thing that takes the pressure off. Is that each disciple is responsible for his or her own growth. You know, you're responsible to try to create an environment of growth, to do the right kind of things. But each disciple who's being discipled, they're responsible for their own growth. They're responsible for their heart response to God. You can teach them stuff in the Word and Bible study. You can bring them along to a fall retreat. And if they don't respond, that's their issue. You love them, you pray for them, you bring them along. But one thing to realize in discipleship, we are not somebody's mom and dad. You know, you are not somebody's mom if you're discipling a woman or their dad. You don't have authority to tell them what to do. You're not their boss. We don't make people do something. We don't make people feel something or think something. I don't have any authority to make any student do anything. I'm not their mom and dad. I'm not their boss. Okay? What I can be is a mentor and a guide and a shepherd, and I can lovingly try to take them toward Christ and his word and encourage them to follow Christ. But let's be clear. Cults make people do things. We are not a cult. We're a movement of Christians that want to help people grow, point them toward the Lord. They got to make their own decisions whether or not they grow. And you're not responsible to do that. Well, I want to just conclude with this. You know, discipleship, being involved in somebody else's life, is such a privilege. Do you realize what a privilege it is? Think about this. You can be involved in somebody's life. You can love them, care for them, mentor them, shepherd them. You can help shape the next 50 years of somebody's life. Do you realize that? You can impart spiritual perspective and truth and wisdom that'll shape the next 50 years of somebody's life. You may be able to step into somebody's life and he may not become an alcoholic because you move into his life and you help liberate him. You can move into somebody's life who, you know, who had a lousy home life and feels like crap and has low self-esteem, and you can speak into their life value and worth because you love them and you believe them and you do something for them that their mom or dad never did. You can do that. That's an incredible privilege. Now I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things you can do here on campus at Penn State. I mean, you can invest all kinds of time in all kinds of other things. You can be in a zillion activities. But there's nothing like helping a person's whole life be changed for the next 50 years. That's how significant discipleship is. I'll say this, and I've said it many times. You know, you're going to impart things to a disciple that may be more, not maybe, will be more valuable and more significant than maybe anything he's learned in the classroom all 4 or 5 years in school. And that's not to denigrate higher education. But look, profs are not being paid to invest spiritually in their students' lives. They're paid to help them prepare for a career, right? You, for free, for nothing, you don't get paid. You can build into somebody's life and change their eternity and change the next 50 years of their life. That makes you as significant as any prof on this campus. I believe that with all my heart. Because what'd you do? I mean, I walk around this campus. Nobody's ever going to acknowledge me as being a great guy. You know, I'm not going to get a building named after me. Not even a bathroom. You know? I don't have a bunch of degrees behind my name. No one. I'm not going to get written up in a school newspaper like a prof will because of his degrees and all the rest. I'm just a little nobody in the world. But I can help make a difference in the next 50 years of men's lives. Brethren, that's the privilege you have. I look back at Larry and Dave. When Larry took me under his wing, when I was a little freshman, I was so caught up in girlfriends I couldn't see straight. I was not a man of God. I was a man of the world. And Larry grabbed me, and he started to speak truth into my life, and he loved me, and he kicked me in the butt. And 30 years later, Larry would probably look back and say, you know, old Hirsch, he was a worthwhile investment, I guess. Yeah. I'm going to pray. We're going to end this time. Oh, Lord, I pray for the men and women in this room and whoever listens to this CD someday on this tape. Lord, that they would just be captured by the high calling, the glorious vision, the worthiness of investing their life in other people. That they would be so captured by that, that they would see it as far more important than all the other activities on campus, as good as they are. But to know that no one can change someone's life like the gospel does. And we can be ministers of life transformation. We can be ministers that change people's eternities. Lord, give us a vision, give us a passion to be disciples of men and disciples of women. For you are worthy. Your glory is worthy of that. We want to be a part of it, Lord. Help each of us take the appropriate next step for us, whatever that next step is for each of us here. Help us take the appropriate next step toward being a biblical discipler. Because you are worthy, and it's such a high calling. Thank you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.